After Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today, we're celebrating the beginning of the week that changed everything. By the end of this week, the world would be changed and we would have assurance of salvation. So this is a big day. Jerusalem was the center of Jewish life. In Jerusalem was the temple, the place where God came to earth, the center of the faith. And Passover was one of the biggest holidays of the year, commemorating the time when God saved the Israelites in Egypt, when God left the firstborn of the Israelites alone while convincing Pharaoh to let them go. Jews of the time were expected to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover and two other holidays. If you were devout, you tried to go every year. If you weren't as devout or were unable to travel as easily, you might have gone once in a while. A lot of people went to Jerusalem for that week. Jerusalem's population, maybe 10 to 20,000 inside the walled city normally, would double during Passover. Think the Jersey Shore on the 4th of July or the airport at Christmas. And different people entered in different ways. Some traveled in groups and all would enter one of the gates together. Some, likely rich, would travel alone but with servants and what passed for security. Some just went alone. Most walked on foot or maybe had a donkey or a camel. If you were rich and important, you had a horse. If you were really rich or really important, like a Roman official or a general or a king, you got a procession. People would watch and cheer just like a modern parade and often spread palms from the trees or their own coats on the road so that the king or distinguished guest's horse didn't even need to touch the dirt. It's all about the ordering of society. You respect your betters or you could suffer. As a side note, Luke is the only gospel that doesn't mention palms or branches. Luke talks about the people spreading their cloaks on the road. So happy Cloak Sunday. I had originally written that maybe we should have waved our coats over our heads during the first hymns, but it's so cold in here that probably that would have been a bad idea. So if you're important, you enter the city in a procession on a horse with people singing and praising their leader. And people spread things on the road ahead of the leader. But that's not really how Jesus did it. In Luke, we have the expanded story of the disciples at Jesus' direction obtaining a donkey colt. We're told a few things that are important. First, it's a donkey. We know this from the other gospels. Not a horse of triumph, but a donkey of humility. Second, it's a new donkey foal, a colt that nobody has ever ridden. And third, it's a borrowed donkey, and Jesus gives instructions on exactly where to find it. As we know, Jesus knew his scriptures. I talked about that in January when I preached, that people were amazed at the proficiency of the son of the carpenter, even at his young age. In Zechariah chapter 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Jesus is setting up a parallel to this prophecy of the Lord, uniting the Jews and protecting them from other race nations. In Jesus' time, the Romans were the occupiers. And the sound, the song that the crowd sings is nearly a direct quote from Psalm 118, but Luke changes it. Instead of blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, we have blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. If you look at the bulletin, you'll see in the original call to worship the way that the psalm is written. Jesus also comes with an entourage. You may remember that Jesus fed 5,000 men and the women and children with them. That's how big Jesus's crowds could be. Compare that with the likely Jerusalem Passover population of 30 to 40,000. Jesus could have been bringing a whole lot of people in with him. When a Roman leader entered, he entered with an army at his back. Jesus had a lot of people behind him as well. And I'm sure that there were a lot of reactions in the crowd. A lot of people had different reasons for being there that day. I'm sure that many just wanted to see what the excitement was about. Jesus was known throughout the area and often mentioned for his preaching and his teaching and his miracles. I'm sure that some of the crowd wanted to see what would happen. I'm sure that some of the crowd knew their scriptures and also waited to see what would happen. They certainly recognized the donkey for what it was, a symbol of humility and a fulfillment of scripture. They certainly recognized Psalm 118 and noticed the change to king. They certainly knew of other instances of scripture apparently fulfilled by Jesus. And they would also have known that many of the signs of a coming Messiah had been fulfilled by Jesus. I'm sure that some of the crowd was there ironically. They were there to see what would go wrong. They wanted to see if somebody would arrest Jesus, to see what kind of mess there might be, to chant the slogan sarcastically, to enjoy the downfall of another. These are the folks who probably would watch auto races for the crashes. I'm sure that some of the crowd were waiting for a hero, for someone to fix things, to conquer the Romans and take back Israel, to overturn the legalism of the Jewish leaders, and to create a better world in the image that they held, to make things the way that they wanted them. I'm sure that there were some there hoping for Jesus to make things according to their desires. Among those was Judas Iscariot, a member of the Zealots who were very interested in overthrowing Rome and returning Israel to its own leadership. And then there were the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a party of people who believed in the resurrection and followed a tradition of law handed down from their predecessors rather than coming directly from the Torah. In other New Testament gospels, the Pharisees and the scribes, another group of legal experts, often criticized Jesus for flaunting the law, mainly by doing work on the Sabbath, healing or picking some grain in the fields, or also for eating with people not considered clean or not following the Pharisees' rituals for cleanliness. In Luke chapter 18, not too long before this point, we have Jesus telling the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, in which the Pharisee is convicted by Jesus of a lack of humility. So here we have the Pharisees again criticizing Jesus. They call Jesus out and they want him to stop his disciples from chanting and singing that Jesus is king. And Jesus replies, "If these were silent, the stones would shout out." If people were silenced, the whole of creation would name Jesus as king. And in our catalog of the types of people present, let's not forget one important person, Jesus. Jesus has a unique perspective on this whole triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus knows what is going to happen this day and in the week to come. Jesus has told his disciples of the coming of his death and his resurrection. And to some degree, Jesus made it happen in this way, on this day, obtaining the donkey was ordered by Jesus in surprising detail. Jesus certainly chose the day and the time and the location of this entry to Jerusalem. Jesus knew who would be there. He knew that one of his disciples would betray him in the coming days. Another disciple would deny him near the end, and he knew the roles in the story that the priests and the Pharisees and the temple guards and the Romans held. He knew about the torture that he would endure and his eventual death on the cross. He knew what was coming, but he also knew why. He knew of the transformation that was coming, the world that would never be the same. In a week, the separation between God and man would be broken forever. In a week, the curtain of the temple would be torn open. In a week, Christ would return to earth alive, seen by a few and then later by all of his disciples. In a week, nothing would be the same again. Jesus knew that this was a moment of joy, a moment of triumph. On this day, riding this donkey with these crowds, cheering and praising, on this day, the final stages of Christ's work on earth begin. In this moment, the stage is set. All of the characters are here. It's time. And the week to come is a tough one for Christ, overturning tables in the temple, arguing with the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees as they try to trick him to create a reason to kill him. A week of teaching in parables, a week of speaking dark prophecy about Jerusalem, the Last Supper and the First Communion, the time of prayer in the garden, the arrest, the trial, the torture, and finally the crucifixion. Jesus would face the hardest moments of his human life. He would be afraid and ask God to take the burden from him. But Jesus's divine side knew what would come of this. His death would bring a freedom from sin for all. His resurrection would prove his teaching. And then the 11 plus a few others would start the process of healing and the baptism with the Spirit and the spreading of the message to the ends of the earth. The creation of the church and the bringing of the gospel to every corner of the world. And events that have yet to come today. All of it. Jesus knew all of what would come from this day, from this entry to this city. It began on this day with this donkey and with these palms and these cloaks on the road, and with the crowds who were there to see it, to see Jesus, including the disciples, with stones on the ground, ready to be backup singers. Jerusalem was the center of the faith, and now that center is not a place, but our God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit. And in this day and week that we remember, Jesus started the final act, bringing it all together. Amen.